and there's intimacy on the radio, and there's naturalness on the radio that can never be replicated on TV. The marvelous resurgence of radio as a political force in this country.
News-related radio programming is evolving.
There's a huge hole in our dialogue that can be filled by the synthesis of traditional radio and the freedom that comes from a live podcast. You're about to experience Cowboy State Politics live. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. Whoa, I did it again. There we go. As I said, from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is most definitely Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. It is a great day. For a number of reasons, all of which you're going to hear about through the course of today's program. I have to tell you, my friends, it is a rare day in Wyoming when you get the media to actually retract a story. And that is exactly what has happened this morning. I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later. Also, joining us on the program is our pal, Joey Carenti. Welcome to the program, Joey.
Well, good morning, David, and thank you for having me. I always enjoy being here, especially now that I can do it while being temporarily unhinged behind the barnwood and barbed wire microphone of freedom in the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios.
Please tell me that your microphone is adorned with barbed wire.
It is intended
no comment
to be
on that one, huh?
Being created. Yeah. Well, it's not finished yet, so I have the cardboard wrap that makes it look kind of that way, but the real one's on its way. You know, not everybody can be David Iverson from the first step out, but lots of baby steps, like everything else we do, turns into success in the end. So as long as you have patience and dedication, you'll get what you need to do what you got to do.
Very true. But I have to admit that this program started from meager beginnings as well. I think we're all aware of the very first interview with founder of the Frontier Republicans, Gail Simmons. I mean, it's hardly fit to listen to, although the interview is a gold mine, and I often go back to it just to find those little nuggets that Gail told me. I mean, honestly, it's amazing. But the audio quality on it, not that great. It's because that interview was done on a ridiculous gaming headset that just so happened to have a microphone attached to it. So everything starts from meager beginnings, and then it grows into something bigger. That's kind of the nature of things. And frankly, I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, it speaks to the power of independent media in this state. Wyoming citizens are so hungry for truthful, honest journalism that when they get it, it doesn't really matter to them if it comes out, you know, sounding like this program does now. All they care about is the truth, because they're certainly not getting it from the vast majority of the Wyoming media. And that's where we're going to start today. On the program, I've got a pretty large stack of stuff that we're just going to kind of go through. I mean, there's various different things. I've got a lot of sound bites lined up to accompany the article. So, but I think where I want to begin is just give us, Joey, just give us kind of a quick update on your Wyoming Press Association Woody in the Library story. We've, I mean, don't go through all the nitty gritty details, but if you've got any updates, go ahead and lay them on us.
Well, thank you, David. And all the nitty gritty details are available on my podcast, Just Blame Joey. And you can find that on Podbean. There's a Facebook page as well as the website, www.justblamejoey.com. We have the live player embedded there. So if you don't know what we're talking about, jump back onto the website, take a listen to those two episodes. But as far as updates go, I have gotten quite a bit of public reaction from different places, and some of them are fairly interesting. A tip I've taken from you, and I believe that is a required standard, is we always lead with our mistakes. And throughout both episodes, I mentioned that this was never reported. It was never brought to the public. And that's not entirely true. I've found out through my investigative staff and contact with a local radio station that they covered the story. And in talking to the station manager, I said, okay, well, just get me the clip and I will happily issue a retraction and an apology and make sure you get your proper recognition. Well, the problem was they couldn't find it. So I went through their website, and their website's a little difficult to navigate. There's no search function. And even if there was, it would be a very specific word I'd have to search for, because this gentleman's name, Mr. Woody, was not included in the text of the story. But there was a short blurb about 2.5-3 months after his conviction, where a story on the library board, and I'm now finding out the library board was a bigger issue than Mr. Wood's content and crimes himself, that they did cover it. It was about a 10-second blurb. It's very difficult to find. It took me 3 hours. The station couldn't find it themselves. But I do want to say Bigfoot 99 out of Saratoga definitely covered it. They put something out about it. And it was either through lack of interest from the public or continued ignorance of the Wyoming Press Association papers that the story never went any further than that. So this story still really hadn't been told. But it goes to show that even...
No, go ahead and go ahead and finish, and then I'll ask my question. Oh, all I was going to say is, were you able to listen to? Okay, so that we got a little bit of a delay. So here's what we're going to do. Just like when we're talking, we'll just keep a pause in there, and then it ought to be able to catch up. So my question, Joey, was: so did you actually get to listen to the recording, or did you just find that they did a blurb about it?
I got to listen to the recording, and then I got the station's permission to actually take the recording and put it into a future episode when I'm going to do an update. So you'll be able to hear it, and we'll give you links at the show notes page on justblamejoey.com so you can read and listen. And it still falls in line, I think, with the thrust of what I was saying. I did specifically say in the story that it never appeared in the radio or TV news as well as the newspapers. That's not completely accurate. It was on the radio. But even on the radio, it was largely ignored by this mainstream media that is present in Wyoming and absolutely avoided by any of the Wyoming Press Association papers.
Well, of course. You know, one point that I made in yesterday's program is that, you know, just in this past, I don't know if it was last month or the month before, but I did two stories about the library board in Fremont County. And unless you live in Wyoming, you probably don't understand how these things work. Just about every town in Wyoming is a small town, even if it's Casper or Cheyenne. Pretty much everybody knows what's going on everywhere else. And so when you have a major shakeup at even the library board or any board for that matter, it becomes big time small town news. And obviously with the salaciousness of this story, if the media were being honest and if Stevenson newspapers were being honest, they would have reported on it, because like I said, the salaciousness of the story and it being big time small town news, absolutely, there should have been something about it other than just that 2-minute blurb on Bigfoot 99. But, you know, kudos to them for reporting on it, and kudos to you for leading with your mistakes. You know, that's how members of the media gain integrity, that,
You know, integrity doesn't come from being right 100% of the time. It comes from admitting when you're wrong and then trying to do better. That's how citizens and listeners get to trust you, because they know that when you goof up, you're going to tell them about it and you'll correct the story. And that way, when you're giving them accurate details, they know that they're getting the truth. And, you know, that's one of the things in the Wyoming, that the Wyoming media is lacking. And we'll say 98% of the time, because clearly Bigfoot 99 covered it as small as they did. But go ahead and finish up and then we'll get to our stack of stuff.
Yeah, I'll absolutely agree with what you just said there, David. And I think it's most important not only to lead with your mistakes, but to point out the smallest of things. This was a minor discrepancy in my story. And I believe it's important to establish that, hey, we're going to come out front with the smallest things. So you know that we're going to come out front with the biggest at a time. It's important to establish that integrity and say, hey, I put this out and now I'm correcting it and I'm taking full responsibility for it, because even in the minor things, that's where the mainstream press tends to start their slippery slope of not correcting, not printing redactions. And what I've asked for in the past is don't apologize to me, apologize to your readers for misleading them in sensitive situations. But other than that, the biggest updates I have that are going to come in a future show of mine is people have reached out and they have sent me plenty of information, screenshots, social media stuff about this individual, because they seem to be more interested in the character of Mr. Woods than the bigger story that I'm trying to point out. But right now we're getting a lot of information about this individual's lifestyle. Remember how he called it a mistake? Not necessarily true in anybody's mind, but there's plenty of evidence that this is the lifestyle he leads. He's proud of it. He's a complete hypocrite. And it really falls to him. Stevenson newspapers, the Wyoming Press Association, they have a choice to make, because even if they can say they didn't know before, they definitely know now. So we'll be bringing those updates. And other than that, you know, Facebook has tried to shut us down quite a few times in publishing this story. People all over social media have been clicking like, share, love, whatever. And then there's a few people that have actually reported it as abusive material, even though the material only comes from Mr. Woods' own published writings, court documents, and sheriff's report. So we're going to continue to fight that battle. We will have an update on this story, but there's a lot of other things in Wyoming that the people need to hear about and expect us to focus on. So this isn't going to be a main thrust and, you know, my war trick pony for Just Blame Joey. It'll definitely be something we continue on. And like I say in my stories, this is a small component to a much larger story that's going to take a long time to write, but we're already making moves on that. I think that's something we're going to get in.
All right, fair enough. Well, moving on. There's an article today out in a couple of mainstream, well, one of them is definitely a mainstream Wyoming media member. Probably actually a member of the Wyoming Press Association, too. But there's a story that right now, and I just checked 30 minutes ago, and it's in at least two media outlets, that being the Wyoming Turkey Vulture, the Wyoming Tribune Eagle, and Wildfile. Now, I don't necessarily consider Wildfile mainstream, nor do I consider them big time Wyoming news. In fact, they're kind of on the bottom of the heap. But nonetheless, this story has appeared in two places, and it's fascinating from a couple of perspectives. But it's entitled "Don't Blame Renewables for Rising Electricity Bills," and to their credit, Wildfile did put this. They clearly label it opinion. So, all right, that's a plus in their column. But let me just read you the two opening paragraphs here. Quote: "As small business owners, ranchers, parents, and energy professionals, we know that every Wyomingite has seen increased costs over the last several years, and each one affects us. They don't affect our ability to make ends they affect our ability to make ends meet at home, keep the lights on at our jobs, and preserve our Wyoming businesses throughout the state. We understand that keeping costs low and within budget is essential to many sectors of our everyday life. The recent discussions and data clearly show that the newly proposed utility increases are prime." And listen to this. This is amazing that they actually put this in print. that the newly proposed utility increases are primarily due to the rising prices of natural gas, coal, over the last 2 years. However, the conversation has instead focused on falsely blaming renewables and a possible moratorium on future renewable projects, end quote. But why do we have increased natural gas, coal, and other energy source prices? Why are those prices going up? It's because of federal mandates. Mandates that say that energy companies have to focus on renewables. It's because of increased regulatory fees, increased regulation hoops that companies have to go through. Now, the fascinating thing about this article is it claims to be published by this group, Powering Up Wyoming. And it's and that's what their logo says. And then the group is called Powering Up Wyoming Advisory Board. So the first question you should ask the Wildfile and the Wyoming Turkey Vulture is, who exactly is the Powering Up Wyoming Advisory Board? Well, normally with any of these boards that are official, and official being in Trotsky's quotation marks, you can Google the name and find out exactly who they are. You can find out who are members on the board. If you look more than 10 minutes into it, you can find out how they are funded. But that is not the case with the Powering Up Wyoming Advisory Board. In fact, you can't find anything. The only thing you can find is this article on Wildfile. And it's under a column, and I believe it, and I closed out the page, I shouldn't have, but I believe the page says, like, current opinion or something like that, and there's only one article, this one, listed under it. Other than that, there is no information as to who this Powering Up Wyoming Advisory Board, nor is there any criticism from either of those two media outlets as to why this thing is such a pile, a steaming pile of dog crap. Go for it, Joey.
Well, I think it's, once again, you know, something I mentioned on my show is it's a lack of journalistic curiosity. They always want to tell you there is something. They don't want to tell you why something exists or where it comes from. And you started your statement with who's to blame. And I have a personal standard of there's a difference between blame and accountability. You can figure out who did wrong and who's at fault. But the key is to fix the problem, and the problem gets fixed through accountability. Now, that does require identification of who that group or that individual that's causing the problem is, but it's really not to say, hey, we'll get you later. If there's a crime or a demonization of an individual or a group or an association, that can happen later. Right now, we need to fix this problem. So what really needs to happen is the people, when I tell them you need to get mad, that includes an education component. You need to know that you know. Find out who these groups are, what they're doing, and attack the actions so that we can resolve the problems. That's accountability. Later on, if you can find out that there was graft, corruption, any of these potential criminal elements, then we can go to blame. But too often, and this is one of the reasons I think we do what we do, people hear something, read a headline, or misinterpret something, or given, you know, poor and incomplete information, and all they do is get mad and want to point fingers. They don't understand the situation and the broken system that is failing them. So that's where we need to start working on the actual accountability component. Now, when it comes to this, don't blame green energy. I mean, I know you used the word they used in the article. We don't ever have to blame any situation. 99% of the time, we can point to the federal government or a state agency who is causing this. But we have to know, what are their processes and procedures? And we have to demand more elected representative oversight and involvement, because like you said, too many of these things are controlled by random boards and groups that have no accountability to the people and tend not to report accurately on what their actual actions or intent is in situations.
Well said. Well, let's take a quick break. And then I'm going to tell you, I have a fantastic announcement to make to you. There's been a development in a story that we've been watching on Cowboy State Politics, and I got something this morning that, frankly, I've never seen in the Wyoming media, and that I certainly was not expecting. And so we'll do that after the break. But first, an absolutely obscene profit timeout. We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, some completely egregious self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows, as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you're dumber than a box of rocks, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself, just like you should have been doing before you decided to run for office. New episodes of the program are published every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday morning. And don't forget about the Thursday live episode that begins every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. You know, the show you're listening to right now. You can find the link at cowboystatepolitics.com or on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Have you been looking for a new place to advertise your business? Well, I'd suggest advertising on this program, Cowboy State Politics. It's Wyoming's most listened to podcast. Now, the difference between advertising on the radio and on a podcast is most people just have the radio playing in the background and they're not actively listening to your message. People who download a podcast are there to listen to the whole thing, so you can be sure that your message will be heard. I have a statewide platform and no one is going to beat my advertising rates. Shoot me a message. The address is david@cowboystatepolitics.com. I would love to get that conversation started with you. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone, documented to be almost always right 98.82% of the time. And actually, that number has gone up. I just haven't had the time to go back through all of the mountains of data and determine exactly what the number is today. But I can tell you, my friends, it's absolutely going up. If you're just joining us, we've got Joey Correnti co-hosting the program, and we're going through a giant stack of media articles, and all of it is going to culminate at the bottom of the hour, where we've got a tremendous announcement for you. But before we do any of that, a story that we've been following, which began in Natrona County last Thursday. Now, if you're unaware, there was a group of redcoats that got together, and they were all bummed out that there's this site called Wyo Rhino that rates all of these legislators according to their voting record. And Wyo Rhino, really what they do is they pick 10 bills and they rate votes according to the Republican Party platform. Why that's significant is the vast majority of, and all but, let's see here, five, six, all but seven people in the legislature are Republicans, or they claim to be Republicans. And so Wyo Rhino exists to show you how their voting record reflects their belief in the party platform. And these redcoats down in Casper, well, they're on the bottom end of the scale because none of them are really Republicans, and all of them are just Democrats who can't spell. Well, last night, and before I begin, I don't do this very often, and this is certainly not something that I think I've ever thought about saying about the cow pie, but this morning they did the right thing, and here in just a second, I'm going to tell you what happened. But last night, Trotsky Wolfson penned an article or published an article entitled "Republican State Representative Calls Out Cowardly Mailer That Blasts Him as a Liberal." Now, in Johnson County, there was an anonymous mailer that was sent out, and it was very, very critical of Representative Poisonberry Crago's voting record. Deservedly so, by the way. Representative Crago has an absolutely terrible voting record. But it went through a lot of his campaign promises last year. And the interesting thing about the controversy surrounding this is nobody claimed responsibility for it. And, you know, all of the criticism that I've heard about this mailer is that people are mad because they don't know who wrote it, not because of what it says, because what it says is demonstrably true. So Last night, Trotsky writes this, and I quote, "The mailer accuses Crego of blocking communications from people who don't agree with him. Others, like conservative podcast host and local political activist David Iverson, have said that he doesn't actually agree with people who disagree with him in public doesn't actually engage with people who disagree with him in public settings." Now, this is the original version of the article. Now, I most definitely have never said that. I'm pretty sure on all of the numerous programs that I've published on Cowboy State Politics that I have never uttered those words. I have, on the other hand, said that he openly attacks his constituents when they disagree with him. I have played audio that says he calls them jerks. I have played audio where he threatens to throw constituents out of his town hall. In fact, here is what I said on the very last episode concerning this whole Wild Rhino thing and the mailer. Now, where the mailer ties in to the event down in Casper is during the event, Crego held up one of these flyers and complained about it. So the next episode, here's what I said about Representative Crego.
"I agree, Barry. I miss those times, too, where we can get in a room and talk about things and or maybe come on somebody else's program and discuss our differences. There's only one problem, though. Here's what happens at your town halls, Representative Crego."
"This isn't
town hall. How about this? It's our town hall.
You know what it's our town hall.
No, it's not.
It was instigated by our request."
"No, ma'am. Marianne, we asked Ashley to come, and you can wait. It's our town hall. I'm hosting it, and William's hosting it.
Questions will be ours."
"That's fine. You can ask whatever question you want.
We want to make sure we have
when Ashley's done.
Time to ask the question."
"Yep. Please take your seat. Ashley's going to go ahead and present. And if you don't, hold on, folks. If you don't, we'll have you escorted out. Thank you."
"Oh, so thank you very much."
That was the very first thing that happened at Barry Crego's last town hall. "It's our town hall. If you don't do what I say, shut up and sit down. I'm going to have you thrown out." Nothing like getting in a room and talking about our differences, eh, Barry? So anyway, my friends, as you can see, everything that came out on Thursday night was a bunch of bullcrap. They're just mad that people are calling out their voting records and they're being held accountable. And they really don't like all of that information coming out anonymously. You see, that prevents them from doing whatever legal maneuver that they're going to do.
Okay, all right, enough of that. So in the very next episode, there was actually a piece that I forgot to include in that episode. It's where he calls one of his constituents a jerk. But you can go back and listen to those two episodes. My point here is that isn't even remotely close to what Trotsky Wolfson published in the Cowpie. So in response, last night, wait. There's one other quotation that I think is hilarious they actually did get mostly right. So Trotsky Wolfson had asked me for a comment on this whole story and about how Barry Crego called the mailer that was sent out cowardly. Here was my response. Quote, "Though I didn't have anything to do with the recent mailer, Representative Crego's comments are nothing short of preposterous. Anonymous political commentary has a long history in this country and goes back to before the Constitution. I'm not surprised that Mr. Crego has forgotten the importance of the Federalist Papers or that he evidently considers the Silence Do-Good letters to be cowardly." End quote. Now, in the original article, Leo also misspelled the word do-good. Now, of course, the Silence Do-Good letters were written by none other than Benjamin Franklin. And of course, everybody knows who wrote the Federalist Papers. So last night, I wrote an email to the head guy over at the Cowpie, and I said, and I quote, I'm just going to read it to you. "With regard to Leo's latest article, the portion pointed out in the attached picture is not true. I never said that to Leo or, to my knowledge, said it on my program. I have, however, said that Crego openly attacks those who disagree with him, and I provided evidence of it in Crego's own words. If Leo wants a quotation from me, I usually am glad to give it. There's no excuse for making stuff up. I'd like a correction to be printed and not just have him change the text of his article so no one notices. That's what he usually does. Also, He misspelled silence do-good to make me seem uneducated. The crazy thing about this is I just finished publishing an episode about Leo doing this very thing about the Wild Rhino event. He selectively edited content to make Representative Obermueller look better. Then I played what Obermueller actually said. I realize that I'm venting here, but I go to great lengths to quote people accurately, and I expect that other organizations will do the same. Please let me know when I can expect a correction. So, my friends, normally what usually happens with this whole thing is that you ask these media outlets for a retraction and it never happens. And usually the result, and Joey, I want you to chime in on this just for a second. Usually the result of this is they go in the middle of the night and they edit the article to what it should have been so that nobody notices and it's never pointed out that they made a mistake. So it's not a correction. It's not a retraction, which they usually do. And they continue to mislead people thinking that they read something that they didn't read. This has happened to our pal Joey on numerous occasions. So Joey, why don't you tell us about one of those?
It does happen, and it is a standard of little Leo Trotsky, little lion Leo. And unfortunately, is the black eye for the Cowboy State Daily. But even most recently, and I have evidence of this, this is not just venting and saying, oh, little Leo bad. We have evidence and we'd like to bring the evidence. And I've sent you this evidence. You can post it if you like. I had a conversation with Leo Wolfson myself over an article he wrote about my formal complaint to the Secretary of State's office with the Democrat Party electing a biological man as a state committee woman. And he wrote his story his way, and he got some things wrong. And I called him out on it over a text message, and he replied with, quote, oh, shoot, you are correct. My apologies. That was a legitimate typo on my part, and I will make that correction, end quote. I knew he would. He sneaks in the middle of the night when no one's looking and changes the website because none of this stuff goes into actual print. I replied to his statement and said, I would prefer that you make your correction, notify the people that you made the correction, issue an official retraction or change to the story, and apologize to your readers for misleading them and causing them unnecessary vitriol in an already sensitive situation. Then he just went in the middle of the night and changed the story. Never replied to what I had asked him to do, never recognized that he may have done something that would cause the people to not only misbelieve something, but would cause a reaction and change the entire thrust of the story. He just went in and did it and hid and actually hasn't spoken to me since. So this is documented and this does happen. And it's terribly unfortunate, not for the cow pie, but for the people.
All right. So here's what happened right before we went on the air. Now, remember, I was pretty smoked last night when I wrote that email to the Cowboy State Daily. So here's what I wrote them, or here's what I received this morning. Quote, thanks for reaching out to us about Leo's story on Barry Crago. We always want to be accurate and fair. Leo didn't intentionally misrepresent what you said, but it certainly wasn't accurate, and we've corrected it. Also, we've corrected the typo on the silence do-good letters. That wasn't intentional and likely was likely an autocorrect that wasn't caught, but was wrong nonetheless. I apologize, and I hope you continue to point out things you notice so that we can address them. Along with correcting the story, I've added this editor's note to the top to point out that there that it's been corrected, and it says, and I quote, editor's note, this story has been corrected to reflect that Cowboy State Politics podcaster David Iverson said Representative Barry Crago becomes combative with people who disagree with him, not that Crago doesn't engage with people who disagree with him in public settings. Also, a typographical error in a quote by Iverson referencing the silence do-good letters has also been corrected. Boom! I don't think that's ever happened before. Do you, Joey?
Well, I don't have any evidence of it happening before. You know, I'm all about evidence, but I love the fact that you're reveling in this and that we've made a step forward and that you have that documentation. My problem is the way they said it was it's a typographical error. It was unintentional, oopsie, accident on our part. You know, there is, and I don't know or believe that this situation rises to this level, but there is a concept in law called criminal negligence, that you're so dumb or bad at something that it's illegal. So even if it was a typo or a misrepresentation on accident, there was no intent behind it, it's still a huge problem. So if they want to, you know, play it down and say, oopsie, we're trying to reach the pinnacle of journalism, journalistic professionalism, and this is still the product they put out, they have to realize there's a bigger problem. And at some point, I'm going to guess the point is right now, people are going to stop caring if it's an accident or you're just so bad at your job, you can't do it well, and start holding you accountable for it.
Well, in either case, I am going to maybe not celebrate it, but I may print out the retraction and put it on the wall of the studio. My main point here is that maybe it was half-hearted. Maybe they said oopsie, but they still printed a retraction, which is something that, frankly, I really haven't seen from the mainstream media unless it ends up on page D27 of the Sunday edition of the Pravda on the Platte. So we've got a big announcement to make. And the story that we just talked about is one of the big, I mean, it's an example of why we're doing what we're doing. That the mainstream media, specifically in Wyoming, but more largely the national media, is lying to you. And they do it on a constant basis. And they do it so often that, honestly, I spoke to somebody yesterday when I was over picking up some equipment for actually what we're going to talk about here in just a second. And the lady said, you know, I haven't even turned on the news or looked at a news website in probably 4 months because I know that they're lying to me. I may not be able to tell them to point out where exactly the lie is, but what they're printing just simply can't be true. So a group of us, myself, Joey Carenti, and Ken Pendergraft, have decided that, frankly, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. That we're tired of complaining about what the media does, and then, you know, not doing our dead level best to correct it. And so we've decided that we're going to start an internet radio station, and it's called the Independence Network. It's going to work exactly like a radio station that you would tune your car radio to. The only difference is that it'll be on the internet, and it's going to be independent voices, mine, Joey Carenti's, Ken Pendergraft's, and others. We're in talks with other people right now to add their content to our network. But the whole point is to give you another source of information, one that you can trust, one that when we make a mistake, we admit it the very first thing on our very next program. And it's an alternative to what you're not getting right now, which is the truth. And it's absolutely something different than what you most definitely are getting, which is lies pretty much most of the time. Joey?
Yeah, Dave, thanks for bringing that up. We've been working hard on figuring out how to do that. And the technical side is one thing, and we've got a big event coming up on the 7th of October that we're about to get into telling you all about. But what I really want to stress is that this may not be everybody's cup of tea, but the thing you're always going to get is you're going to get truth backed up by facts and data. And what it won't be is a Facebook chat room or private group where you have a bunch of nutballs going off the handle and just venting without anything. We will have standards. Our particular standards for our own shows are going to be combined. And what you're going to get out of the network is people who follow the standard. Now, we won't curtail their voice, but we will demand that anybody who wants to wear or fall under the banner of the Independence Network will make sure that they have data and fact to back it up and are willing to stand behind everything they say or correct it publicly. So it's the one thing you're not going to get from the mainstream media that you don't get from a lot of your legislators. They're saying, this is what I do. This is what I believe. This is how I do it. And I will call myself out on it every single time. And you will always be able to look back at these principles and standards and say, I knew he would have said that because he told us that this is the way he does things or she does things. And they follow that principle. And at very least, we can't call them hypocrites. So get ready to tune into that. We're going to start slow and move up. There's going to be a written component at some point. We're going to challenge the mainstream media to, at very least, if you want to sell us crap, give us the nutrition label, show us your data, back everything up that you say, and then stand behind it.
Oh, sounds like we may have lost Joey. We'll work on that connection, but Joey's exactly right that you have to have an alternative. You have to have a place that you can go and get information that you can trust. And like I said earlier, you know, the way that you build integrity and trust is that you admit when you make a mistake. That's the one thing. The very first time I've seen a retraction printed in such a fashion for a very long time in the Wyoming media. And so the Independence Network is going to be that alternative for you. So the website is going to be independencenetwork.us. We've already got it purchased. And if you go there right now, the only thing you're going to see is a graphic that says it's coming. But in a couple of days, you'll see a flyer that's going to be for our launch party, which, as Joey mentioned, it's going to be on October 7th here in Sheridan, Wyoming. It's going to be a great time. I'm not going to tell you too much about the show, but what I will say is there are some very, very special guests that are going to show up. For my portion of it, I've gone to great lengths to bring these guests to you, and it's going to be a very, very important conversation. So that's going to be a heck of a good time. Seating is going to be limited. I think we're only looking for about 150 people. We do have to charge for this event, but, you know, if you get something for nothing, you don't value it. And, you know, we put a lot of work into putting this thing together and giving you a quality product. And so you can look for the, and I'm not exactly sure when we're going to release the tickets, but it's going to be in like the upcoming week or so. But you can also find the link to the tickets at the website, independencenetwork.us. A couple of quick things about the nuts and bolts of this thing. So everything is going to launch from the website. You know, if you want to listen to the live stream of that day's programming, the link is going to be on the website. But also, there's going to be this really cool mobile app as a component of it. So you can download it to your phone and you can get, notifications and push notifications and you can find out when somebody new is coming on the air, when there's another show that you happen to like that's coming up. As Joey mentioned, there's going to be a written portion of our network as well. That I'm particularly excited about that one. We're going to, like Joey said, we're going to challenge the mainstream media in Wyoming to actually do their job. So, let's take a quick break. We're going way long. And when we come back, we're going to continue on our stack of stuff. And I've got a couple of articles that I really want to discuss with our pal Joey. So we'll do that here in just a second. But first, we'll go to a break. Yeah, it's still summer, but hunting season is not that far away. And it's time for you to start gearing up for it. I know, that's going to make the wife extraordinarily happy, but it has to be done. One of the best things that you can put in your hunting pack is a pair of really warm socks. And the best socks that I have ever worn are made by the Buffalo Wool Company. Most of the time, the first thing to get cold on my body are my feet. And being a diabetic like I am, I'm really, really sensitive to it. Now, I've tried Pendleton wool socks and just about every kind of wool sock that you could possibly imagine, and nothing compares to these Buffalo Wool Company socks. To get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you are not going to be disappointed. Wyoming is one of the most sought-after places to live. I talk about it all the time on this program. There's a lot of people that want to move to our great state. There's beautiful mountain vistas all the way from Sheridan to Saratoga and from Hewlett all the way to Jackson. It's an amazing place, and there's a ton of people that are moving here. If you're buying or selling, you need a real estate agent with experience. The best person to talk to is Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Last year, she sold $25 million worth of property all across the state of Wyoming, from small residential properties all the way up to giant ranches. She's lived in Jackson for 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market all across the state of Wyoming. So it doesn't matter what type of property you're looking for or if you're thinking about selling, give Rebecca a call, 307-699-3519. That's Rebecca Bextell at Compass Real Estate. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson, documented to be almost always right, 98.83% of the time. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't have time to do the numbers. But welcome back to the program. We're still joined by Joey Carrenti. Hopefully he's fixed the connection problems a little bit. We'll get some reaction to him here in just a second. And I got a little note a little bit ago. We might have another conservative voice calling in here in just a second. But I'll let you know when that happens. And we may interrupt exactly what we're talking about so we can talk to him. So next up is an article that was written in the Wyoming Tribune Eagle, and it's obviously from a wire service. But anyway, it's entitled "Biden Uses Executive Power to Create a New Deal Style American Climate Corps." Now, this sounds kind of obscure, but the reason why I brought it up is it goes directly to first principles. You know, we have a constitution, we have laws, and our government is set up to work in a specific way. And the administration that we have in power right now, they don't just try to get around the law, they ignore it. And this is exactly this is a perfect example of that. So the article is about him creating this like climate corps, and apparently it's going to be like firefighters and you know, all sorts of things. All right, hold on here. I've got Mr. Tom Kelly on the phone, and we're going to try to patch him in. You're on the air, Mr. Kelly. How are you?
Mr. Iverson, thank you for having me here. I was listening to what you were talking about earlier, so sorry to backtrack a little bit, but I have to say about Cowboy State Daily that you must reward good behavior. So well done, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Now, hold on. Let me just ask the audience to, if they're hearing everything. Joey, are you able to hear Tom?
Okay. I can hear Tom. I can hear you, and I'm not able to hear Joey. Still on a delay.
All right. Well, you can't hear Joey, but go ahead, Tom. The audience can hear you, my friend.
Fantastic. Well, I saw that correction, and I think well done. Well done. You should work with the media. I see Cowboy State Daily working daily to become a credible news source. So I think when they do the right thing, you should point out they're doing the right thing. I just want to say one other thing, too. The Independence Network sounds quite interesting. We may have to talk later, huh, sir?
Well, you know, we might just have to do that. It sounds like a heck of an idea. I'm sure that we'll have a lot of time for that conversation later.
Well, just a quick plug. I've got Harriet Hageman coming up on Wyoming is Right this Saturday. And the following weekend, we've got U.S. Senator John Barrasso. And I will leave you to your show. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Goodbye.
That was Tom Kelly calling in. Tom, of course, is the host right now, is the host of Wyoming is Right. And he's got a great program. If you've never listened to it, you can listen to it on KROE. It's and I think it's on Saturday mornings, isn't it, Joey? I forgot to ask him that.
Yeah, every Saturday morning you can catch that if and this is one of the things we're pointing to with the internet radio station is you can catch him if you're local, but he's also available on SoundCloud. So if you don't have access to the signal through your radio, you can check him out on a digital source as well, Saturday mornings.
Yeah. So sorry about the connection problems on that, my friends. It's, as you know, not exactly set up to take call-ins, but we made it happen. So what we were talking about before we were so delightfully interrupted by Dr. Tom Kelly, you know what PhD stands for, Joey? Piled higher and deeper. All right. So what we're talking about is first principles, that we have laws and we have a constitution, and they ought to be followed. They're not to be ignored. They're, you don't try to go around them. We pass laws for a reason. And, you know, this is an example of the federal government, specifically the Biden administration, trying to spend money that it's not in their power. The power of the purse resides with the legislative branch, specifically the House of Representatives. And it works that way in at both the federal level, and it works that way in Wyoming. But in Wyoming, we have these things called coffee cans. That's not a, that's, of course, that's not their official name, but that's what our politicians in Cheyenne call them. And they're set up for one specific reason, and that's to put the budget on autopilot. And there's all sorts of funding that happens that legislators don't even vote on. And one of those happens to be with education. Now, if you're unaware, the Wyoming Education Association, the teachers union, has sued the state over education funding. And there's an article again in the Tribune Eagle this morning entitled "Wyoming Supreme Court Denies State's Petition in School Funding Lawsuit." Now, right now, the schools is one of those things that's put on autopilot. In fact, there are these things called escalators that are in place, and it makes the school's budget go up automatically. And again, your representatives don't even get to vote on it. And I think the last number I heard is that it causes the education budget in the state of Wyoming to go up around $200 million every year. And right now, the Education Association is suing the state, saying that the state's not adequately funding Wyoming education. Well, any person could look at the amount of money that is that we pay, you and me, per student each and every year, and question, what the heck is adequate funding then? Right now, each student in the state of Wyoming costs you and me and every other Wyoming taxpayer $19,700. That's per student. Now imagine, it, you know, like most people have two kids, imagine if roughly 40 grand was deposited into your bank account every year for your kid's education. There's very little you couldn't do. And it's, it absolutely blows my mind that the Wyoming Education Association thinks that they need more money. But the problem, one of the reasons they're able to get away with it is there's no scrutiny from the Wyoming media. This particular article that I have in my hand, it doesn't go into how much we spend on education. It just talks about, hey, the Education Association is suing because they say there's not adequate funding. And, you know, it's a clear example of where the media is not being critical. And, you know, to present both sides of the story, you have to look at it with a critical mind. And frankly, I'm not just saying this because he's on the program, but one of the best critical minds that I know is our pal Joey. So Joey, I mean, just in your words, you know, how important is it to be critical of everything? I mean, I mean, you could just go on. I'll just let you go.
Yeah, absolutely critical. But you have to understand the limitations and the process in our broken system that are applied first. So when it comes to education funding, there's three steps. One is the funding model that says for this school to have a janitor, we need 2.7 students to fund that. And that's how they come up with the number for their budget. Then you have the actual budget when it gets written by the governor and sent to the Appropriations Committee. And they talk about it and they say, well, this, that, and the other, this goes up, this goes down. And the school boards, the Wyoming Department of Education, and this teachers union all go in and fight and scrap out for legitimacy in protecting their budget. Then when that money's appropriated and the governor signs that budget, it goes to the Wyoming Department of Education and by law is parsed out to these districts that have no responsibility to spend it the way the funding model said to. And the Wyoming Department of Education, the superintendent of public education, cannot direct them on how to spend that money. So when you get the A&I reports, like we did a couple of years ago, it takes forever for them to release this information. And you look at where the money was spent just on personnel, you see, hey, you said you would spend this money or at least ask for this money for a janitor, but you took the janitor money and you put it into a top-heavy administration, and almost none of it went into teachers that actually teach or the classroom. And then on top of that, they said, we have this many positions we need to fill. They get those positions funded, but they never hire the individuals. It's what we call phantom positions. So yeah, the accountability, being critical, very important, but you have to understand how this works. And one of my stories coming up is going to be based on the limitations and the legal requirements and restrictions on our superintendent of public education, who can't just say, you have to spend it this way. This is a problem that needs to be dealt with at the school board level, and the people have to get involved and be critical at their local level, because most school boards have voted away their power, authority, and most importantly, responsibility to an individual superintendent that runs the whole show when it comes to money. Now, you said $19,000 per student. That's the average. In Converse County, just in that county alone, their average is $23,000 per student. So you're absolutely right. If each individual parent had that much money, even half of that per student in their home, there's almost no educational requirement that couldn't be met and met well or better if they were doing it themselves.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think my point here is that the media never asks the question, why? Why is it that what you say is true? Give me the logical foundation for what you're saying. Explain it to me. And, you know, you never see that from the Wyoming media. Now, I suppose, you know, there's something to be said for just reporting, hey, this is what they said, and leaving it at that. But more often than not, in the Wyoming media, what you see is them opining, whomever's writing the article. With politics, it's almost always Trotsky. But you see Trotsky opining as to what he thinks. And of course, he doesn't couch it in terms of, okay, this is what I think, which would be an opinion piece. He puts it in the middle of what he leads you to believe is a factual article. Here's another one. This one just happened yesterday. This one's from Breitbart. So, of course, it's critical of the Democrats. But just listen to this. Merrick Garland hearing. This is the title. Six takeaways on Hunter Biden investigation. Quote, Attorney General Merrick Garland's testimony to the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday left Republicans unsatisfied and failed to clarify most of the questions surrounding the Justice Department's high profile investigation of Hunter Biden. By the way, if you want a pretty good explanation of what the House is doing, I did an interview with our awesome U.S. Representative Harriet Hageman on Wednesday. You can go to the podcast and listen to that. It's well worth your time. So, back to the article. Garland spent hours on defense as GOP lawmakers grilled him about the details of special counsel David Weiss's investigation, the now withdrawn plea deal offered to Hunter Biden in June, and the Justice Department's handling of the January 6th defendants. Now, in the text of the article, the Attorney General was asked, did you talk to anyone in at the FBI about the Hunter Biden investigation? Did you talk to anybody? And here was his response.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but the FBI works for the Justice Department. I'm sorry.
You don't recollect whether you've talked with anybody at FBI headquarters about an investigation of the president's son?
I don't believe that I did.
Okay, my point in that was, he says, I don't remember that anybody who has ever talked to law enforcement about anything knows that the answer, well, yeah, I don't really remember that. That usually doesn't fly. And it certainly doesn't fly if you're the Attorney General of the United States, the top cop in the country, when questioned about the most high-profile case in just about every newspaper in America. He says, well, you know, I just don't remember that. You know, I got so much stuff going on that, you know, that one, it's not really high on my radar. Oh, my God. Now, why is this representative? Why this article when talking about the media? Well, just about every newspaper in the state, including the Pravda, which pretty much the only thing they report on now is sports and national news. But they should be saying the attorney general said what? That he doesn't remember? Now, most media sources, definitely in Wyoming, Stevenson newspapers, most of your small town newspapers, I can tell you definitely the Buffalo Bullcrap and the Sheridan Press, they're entirely left-leaning. So you're not going to see a critical question like that come out. But I can tell you one place that you will see that. It's called the Independence Network. Get ready. It's coming. So next up in the stack of stuff, from The Blaze, Democrats panic over Trump campaign's kinda genius strategy amid auto worker strike. Trump scooped us. Now, of course, this is from The Blaze, so this is Glenn Beck's network. And they're reporting on Trump not going to the second Republican primary debate, which, by the way, I kind of agree with his decision. You know, why lower yourself to the level of everybody who's running against you if you're ahead by 100 points or what? I don't know how many points he's ahead, but it's a lot. So from the article, quote, Trump's decision to skip the debate and engage with union workers instead, according to the New York Times, shows that his campaign is looking past the Republican primary and focusing its efforts on campaigning against Biden. And unfortunately for the president, that's also exactly how some Democrats understand it. From Politico, and I quote, Trump scooped us. Now, if we announce we're going, it looks like we're going there just because of Trump, a Democrat strategist told Politico. We waited too long. That's the challenge. Now, why is this article important? Well, you never see the Wyoming media be critical of the Democrats. You never see them utter a single critical word about the Democrats who can't spell, the Redcoats. I mean, I can't tell you the last time that I don't think I've seen an article where they're critical of any of the Redcoats. But if you're a conservative, if your name's Joey Correnti and you walk on the wrong side of the street, it'll be blasted on every newspaper in Wyoming. But they never say anything good that Republicans do because the media is entirely left-leaning. What do you think, Joey?
I think you're completely right. And again, as per our standard, and this should be coming out here pretty soon, we have evidence of this. Not only in every article most of these garbage-filled papers print, but also in some private communications. You know, there's a lot of neutral and conservative journalists out there that have been trying to come to the state of Wyoming. And we have evidence that at some point we will be able to release when we develop the story that not only does the journalistic community, but some specific individuals known to you, even within your major papers and Stevenson newspapers, say, sorry, we're not interested in hiring you at this point because your writings are a little too conservative. So you have, it's not an accident. It's not ignorance and oopsies and not our intents. This is an active process that these mainstream media sources go through to reject even the presence of the possibility of actual news or even support of conservative actions. And it's ridiculous. And it's one of the reasons we're developing the network, not just to bring you the conservative angle, to bring you truth that's backed up by documentation, regardless of who writes by documentation, regardless of.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, that's the very reason why we're bringing you the network, so that we can bring you facts so that we can bring you opinion that is backed up by fact. You know, a lot of people come after this program saying that, well, I call them redcoats, and or I call them slithers, or I refer to Kale Case as Nancy. Well, those aren't just names that I've picked out of the ether. Those are names that are well earned. That, and I mean, okay, so they're a little bit pejorative, but when you say stuff like, this is a great deal for Wyoming, but we can't figure it out until we pass the bill. Well, that sounds conspicuously like we have to find the pass the bill to find out what's in it. Nancy Case, you know, Senator Slithers. I'll go back and track down the audio of where she ended every sentence with a s, and it was in direct reference to vaccine mandates. You know, so I mean, there's reasons behind everything that comes out, at least on my program. And, you know, when it's opinion, we're going to call it opinion. When it's fact, we're going to call it fact. That way, you know the difference, as if you couldn't tell already. Well, let's go to the final break. We're going to run a little bit long today, but we'll go to the final break, and then we'll bring you the conclusion of the show. We'll finish up the program in just a second, but first, one more absolutely obscene profit timeout. Are you the type of person that thinks it's a good idea to go buy a box of hair color at Walmart, do it yourself, and then when it doesn't turn out quite right, why not just try to do it again? That, my friends, is how you end up with orange hair. Let's be honest, not that many of us know exactly what is going on with that box of hair color. That's why you just shouldn't do it. A better idea is just to call Christine at the Bombshell Studio. She's a certified Redken specialist, and she knows exactly how to get you the exact look that you've been wanting. All the while to keep your hair healthy, which is exactly the opposite of what will happen if you go and try to do it yourself. So give Christine a call. Her phone number is 307-752-4844. That's Christine at the Bombshell Studio.
Do you like hot wings? Yeah, me too. In fact, I'm obsessed with them. And the best hot wings in the state of Wyoming are from the Wing It Food Truck. They travel around the state, going from town to town. All you have to do is go to their Facebook page, the Wing It Food Truck, or go to cowboystatepolitics.com and look underneath the sponsors tab, and you'll find their schedule there. You know, I personally recommend the garlic parmesan wings. They're absolutely amazing, but they've got several other different flavors, not just hot wings or garlic parmesan. You'll find exactly what you've been missing this entire time. So go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, and look underneath the sponsors tab. And that way, you can plan your entire week around where the Wing It food truck is going to be.
I get it. Actual summer was really kind of short in Wyoming. And we all know what that means. Fall is on the way. And with it comes some pretty unpredictable temperatures. You need to be prepared for all of it. Sometimes we have all four seasons in the same week. One of the best ways that you can do that is to get a nice warm hat from New Trend Hats. They have a wide variety of hats for both men and women, and they're sure to keep those ears of yours nice and toasty warm. So go to their website, newtrendhats.com, and make sure you're prepared for whatever is coming.
And now, the conclusion to the program.
David Iverson, Wyoming's conservative voice. I'm joined today by Joey Carrente. He's been with us the entire program. And if you missed the last segment of the program, we announced that we're going to be starting what we're calling the Independence Network. It's an internet radio station, and it's going to be independent voices. Mine, Joey Carrente's, Ken Pendergraft's, among others. Like I told you, we're in talks with several different people to provide content for the radio station. It's super exciting. So pay attention to the website, independencenetwork.us, and we'll be posting all of the details that you want and need right there. So in the next couple weeks, you'll see the event flyer go up, or actually the next couple days, you'll see the event flyer go up. And then a little bit after that, the entire website will go live. So back to the program. If you've ever wondered where exactly we're at as a country, this article says it all, and it's from the Daily Wire. The title, Majority Say Virginia Porn Candidate Should Drop Out, Including Democrats and Women. Has anybody ever seen the movie Idiocracy? If you haven't, you should really go watch it. In the movie, the president of the United States is a WWF wrestler, and the average IQ of the public is like 60 or something. And I mean, it's honestly, it's a stupid, funny movie, but a lot of the stuff that happens in the movie is happening in our country. And I saw this article this morning and I was like, man, that is straight out of Idiocracy. So in Virginia, there's this lady running for the state house, and she raised all of her campaign funds by doing online porn. From the article, and I quote, a majority of likely voters think the Virginia Democrat who raised money by performing sexual acts online should end her political campaign, a new poll found. In the wake of the discovery of the Virginia House of Delegates candidate Susanna Gibson's pornographic Cheddarbait account, 56% of surveyed voters in the state said the Democrat should drop out of the race, while 30% thought she should remain. So what the lady was doing is, she and her husband would go online and pretty much do whatever her viewers told them to do. And that's how she raised money for her political campaign. Joey, is this where we're at as a country?
Absolutely. It is where we're at as a country. And I think it's problematic for different reasons that most people might not agree with. Now, I don't have a problem with somebody creating digital content, as long as they admit that that's what it is. It's not fed to children. We're not subsidizing with tax dollars. And then when you're asked or you attempt to be something else, like let's say a candidate or a representative of the people, you're honest about, this is what I did. This is how I did it. This is why I did it. And let the people decide on the election. Excuse me. So I don't think this candidate really stands a chance. And what I'm really going to be looking for, is there a mealy-mouthed kind of stepping back of, yeah, I did that, but you know, it's so hard to run for office and you got to raise money. And no, if that's who you are, be honest about it. The biggest problem I'm going to have is going to be with the hypocrisy of the individual as they're running, and regardless of what the situation is or what they did, if they're hypocritical, they stand less of a chance of being accepted by the people, even though this particular process of raising funds would make it difficult to get elected in the first place. But that really is up to the people.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And frankly, our system was set up so that everybody could participate. In fact, the whole idea was that the guy who's a farmer could get elected, go serve a couple of years in the legislature, and then when he was done, he could go back to farming. And you know, if this lady, however she raises her campaign money, gets elected, then that, like Joey said, that's what the people chose. And you know, I am much more like, I'm not saying I would vote for somebody that made all their campaign cash off of porn. However, if this candidate was honest about it and just said, yep, it's entirely legal how I raised all of my campaign funds, and campaign fundraising is hard. This is kind of a fun way. So, you know, I'd be much more likely to vote for her if, you know, if she was honest.
And let me ask you two questions real quick. Ahead. First of all, if this is the way she raised her money, is the federal government, the IRS, or the state treasurer's office going to reject her taxes from this income? Or are they going to say, hey, that's earned income. We're still going to take your, what we're calling dirty money. You can't have that hypocrisy in the system either. If it's legal and they're raising their money, the people will decide whether it's a good way to raise money or not. I guarantee you the government's still going to take that money. And the other thing this lady didn't do, she didn't commit a crime, lie about it, hide it, and then ascend to a high position like some other people we know in previous stories we've told. So my concern here really is the hypocrisy in the system or in the statements being made by these people. And it will really depend on, is there any hypocrisy in this candidate themselves?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, a fascinating story. And I honestly, I kind of wanted to end the program on sort of a funny note. But, you know, like I said, our system was specifically set up, you know, so that everybody could participate. And like Joey said, if, you know, if the people choose that person, then that person should serve, regardless of how they raise their money. And, you know, I would be, like I said, I would be absolutely way more likely to vote for them if this lady was honest about it. Now, the article does say, let's see here, it's on the back page. Hold on just a second. The article does say that, here we go. The story was broke by the Washington Post and covered by nearly all national outlets, but the local paper has largely looked the other way. Gibson has gone into hiding after the scandal, despite being hours from early voting beginning in a swing district where the partisan control of the entire House of Delegates could be in play. She's refused to address. See, this is the answer to our question, Joey. She has refused to address the scandal or answer questions from the media, including the Times-Dispatch. Yet on Tuesday, the Times-Dispatch allowed Gibson to run an op-ed on an unrelated issue, essentially a press release that allowed her to avoid hard questions. So, so there's our answer. You know, she's not going to come out and say, "Yep, I did it." No. Now, she's going to try to hide behind it and not talk to the media. Typical Democrat. Yep. And, you know, I lived in Virginia for a while, and Virginia politics are weird, man. Like, during Obama's reelection campaign, he only won one county in the entire state, and it was where Alexandria is at. I don't remember the name of the county. But the entire rest of the state didn't vote for Obama, voted for Mitt Romney, though, you know, we all know what happened to, you know, what Mitt Romney turned into or always was. But Virginia is a weird state. And unfortunately, you know, this lady looks like that she's not entirely honest. So that'll about do it for today's program. Lots of really cool news. You know, the retraction printed by the Cowpie. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it on their website yet, but right after the program, I'm going to go look. And the announcement about the Independence Network, super cool, man. It is going to be a large time. So make sure that you keep updated on the website, independencenetwork.us. You'll get all the details that you need right there. This is, like Joey and I said, we're going to challenge the Wyoming media to do their job. I'm not saying that they're going to, but we're going to challenge them to. Joey, final thoughts?
Yeah, to close out that last story, I want to clarify something before we have to issue a retraction or a clarifying statement. It turned out the way it turned out on that back page, but we said as long, you know, however she raises her money, not a problem. Caveat, as long as that money was raised legally and taxes were paid, because we're not going to give a pass to the Biden crime syndicate saying, oh, however you raised your money. No, it has to be legal and you have to be paying your taxes. Now, obviously, she backed out on confronting this, and that's a classic tactic of the left, including in the media. You know, rules for thee, but not for me. I will force people to testify, but I won't testify on my own stuff. I just did a story about that. So closing that out, you know, Independence Network coming on strong. We're going to get that information out to you. Mark out your calendars. Have October 7th available. We're going to be in Sheridan that evening. It's going to be a live broadcast in front of a live studio audience. There's going to be no editing of that as it's going out live, and people will be present while it's being recorded. David, I know you have a lovely lady in your life, and you'll be bringing her. And Ken Pendergraft, obviously, he's been married longer than we've been alive. So he'll be bringing his date. Me, myself, I'm still without a date. So I'm going to put a call out to Representative Lauren Boebert. She lives right over the border from where I am here in Saratoga, and see if she's available, because I'm interested in hanging out with her a little bit and getting some answers to some questions, maybe having a date. But if that falls through, it'll be Joey Roland solo, and we're going to bring you all three of our shows, plus Crosstalk Live And I hope y'all show up. Other than that, additionally, David Iverson and I will be at the Weston County Republican Party hosting the State Central Committee in November. So November 2nd, 3rd, sometime around there. We'll get you more details.
Yeah, somewhere around there. We'll bring you details on it later.
But other than that, you know, keep listening, send in your questions, your emails. I got to get out of here myself. We've got Labor and Health in Saratoga right down the street from me. So I'm going to go and see if I can keep my lunch down listening to Zwanitzer and Barlow go and try to throw a bunch of money towards avoiding expanding Medicaid while expanding it anyway.
Well, you have fun with Zwanitzer. Make sure he doesn't do any Zwanamandering while he's there. I know, might be kind of difficult on Labor and Health, but the guy's pulled off some incredible stuff before. Well, that'll do it for today's installment of Cowboy State Politics Live. Make sure if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, go to cowboystatepolitics.com. All the way at the bottom is the is a little form. Put your name and your email in there, and I'll put you on the mailing list. The newsletter is going to go out every Friday. Sent out the first one last Friday. Also, make sure you subscribe and follow the program. You can do that also from the website. There's a couple little buttons on the big episode tab, or you can do it from Podbean. That way you'll be notified when there's a new episode of my podcast coming out. Other than that, from the base of the Bighorns, from the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.